just the little bits that I've seen of The Shout, beautiful.
Thank you.
The precision on the very and the melding of the genres of dance is just stunning.
Thank you very much. Thank you. The song, it's a thank you. Thank you. It's definitely something that I think that people will enjoy seeing, whether they like dance or not. I think they'll just like it just for art's sake. I think it's a beautiful piece of art.
I definitely agree, and I'm watching just the brief, looking at the stills that Blair sent me, plus the short videos, I couldn't help thinking of Gene Kelly.
Why Gene Kelly?
Gene Kelly, because I've seen so many of his experimental dance pieces that he's done, where he blends so many different genres and styles of dance, and your choreography made me think of Gene Kelly.
You know, it's funny you say that, because firsthand, I'm like, wait, he was a tap dancer. But then I go back to, like, scenes like An American in Paris and Always Fair Weather, and it's always, like, with him and Sid Charisse, and it's like, you're right, there was always a huge element of jazz and tap and ballet in any of his big musical productions. So, yeah, I can definitely see that.
Yeah, that's as I was watching, and you were switching up styles, and especially with some of the rehearsal pictures and the ballet poses, immediately, that's where my mind went, and I just think it's so beautiful, and the audiences will respond to that.
We hope, we're definitely trying to work on making these last two shows, possibly three shows that we have, you know, be as big as they possibly can be, so, and even still, you know, we'll try our best once we shoot it to get it out to people, because, you know, people love a good Netflix stream, but yeah, definitely, I think that dance art should be, it's time for it to be elevated a little bit. I think it's not so you think you can dance. People don't think it exists, and that's not true. There's a lot that exists.
You are absolutely right. What was the genesis for you of the project of The Shout?
I would probably say, first one is just life experience. I experienced, I had a nervous breakdown about 2 years ago. While I was working, and I don't think anybody ever anticipates having one. We hear about it, you know, you grew up here about, oh, you know, that person, such and such and such. You don't really think much of it. Once it happens to you, you're just like, wait, this is serious, like, really serious. And the other question then becomes, why did it happen to me? And then you start thinking, wow, is it something wrong with me, or has there been something wrong with the environment that I've been in? And so I've always, from there, I play with the idea of creating a show about insanity, but not just a person who is crazy, more about there's nothing wrong with the person, it's the environment that he's in that makes him crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I think from that step, that's why I think the show looked the way it looked, because if I approached it like it was an American Horror Story anthology, I think it would have just came off cliche. But approaching it from the perspective of the protagonist, the lead, Josh Rivera, isn't crazy. He's just misunderstood, and because of that, coupled with, you know, the news media, the imagery that we have and, throughout the show, and some of the, you know, social themes that we're hitting on, you know, the theme is just that, you know, we're all dancing on that line. There's really no one way or the other. Everybody's always kind of sitting in that thin in-between.
And it also looks like you make beautiful use of color within the lighting design of the production.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's hugely important. You know, lighting definitely sets a tone. For any show, I think you have to, your lights are almost have to be just as choreographed and as magnificent as the choreography on stage. I can't begin to tell you, and you probably know this, how many shows you've gone to. But like, this show's great, but these lights suck. <It's> like, you know, there has to be a marriage of the two. You know, that's the other benefit to doing a show like this. It's able to be a production. It's not a recital.
Mm-hmm. No, I admit, I can be a snob when it comes to live performance and the lighting and the production design.
Yeah, me too.
Because it just, if it doesn't fit the emotional tonality of the performance, you just get lost.
Yep. And you're looking at your clock waiting for an intermission so you can go get a glass of wine. I've been there. But that's why my show is under an hour. Come on. I mean, dance is already a hard sell in a theater. Then that, pick up your suit, you know, get home from work from an 8-hour day, throw on a suit, attempt to shower and then sit through a 2 or 3 hour play. People, our brains aren't wired like that anymore. You know, we have to be able to get our stories across and put on a great show with under an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do that, and you can entice people, you know, to give up an hour of their time to see something magnificent, then, you know, I think that you have a product, and that's kind of what we sought out to do with this. You know, our show is only 45 minutes, and you get everything in that 45 minutes.
Do you think that the dance shows that we see on TV now, like Dancing with the Stars or So You Think You Can Dance, do you think that has helped expand the public's mind and appreciation for the art of dance?
See, that's a loaded question, because yes, in a lot of ways it has extended dance to an audience that probably would never be inclined to want to look at dance, but with that, it's also commercialized dance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's both, you know, it's done a lot for people's careers. I mean, one of the winners of it, a good friend of mine's now, Keon, I mean, won season 8 or 9. He actually was the ballet master for the show when I initially did it as a workshop at my college. And, you know, I've talked about this with him briefly, and it's like, you know, the show is great when it really shows brilliant dancers and gives them a platform, but then the shows aren't great because they don't necessarily open it up to other, you know, perspectives of dance. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's kind of like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And it's no offense to the show, but after a while, I don't want to see the same 5 choreographers choreographing 10 pieces a season.
Mm-hmm.
There's millions of other choreographers. My other issue with certain new dance is that how they qualify, you know, who a legend is, or how they perceive someone who is a stature in the dance industry, and put them on that stage to judge work and judge dancers. Because someone who I love immensely, who is like the father of contemporary dance, is Alonzo King. But that man has stepped foot on that set. I mean, the darkest thing that ever stepped foot on that set is Alvin Ailey's company. So it's kind of, and Devin Richardson. So it's like, even with that, it's a little, to me, a little too isolated, a little too narrow,
mm-hmm.
Given that there's a wealth of pioneers in dance that show does not feature.
So now, what made this the right time for you to jump into directorial position and choreographic position? Because you have such extensive dance experience, but what was it that made you cross the line?
I just got tired of being told what to do. I think that's really what it is. And as bad as that sounds, like I'm a control freak, I think it's true and indicative of any director or choreographer. You get to a certain point where you begin to really trust and feel your creativity, and it's hard to you know, turn that down or to dim it. And as a dancer, you know, you're pretty much you're a hired physical prop. It's not really about, you know, what you say or how you think. It's about just doing and being quiet about it. And I don't think highly creative people who are willing to try to create something, to change something, or to challenge what people see, you know, dance wasn't really set up for my kind of personality. As I got older and started to, you know, travel the world and experience the world and get inspired by the world, you know, you can't turn creativity down.
You know, now, as I know, this has been a rocky road getting this production mounted.
Yeah.
I was being kind. What have you found to be the biggest challenges for you producing a live event like The Shout?
So if you've seen the trailer, you've seen the set, you've seen the costumes, you're mm-hmm. right. It is a huge undertaking. It's very ambitious.
And you have 21 dancers.
Yeah, so it's very ambitious. But I think the biggest thing I've just learned more about people and how people operate, how people work, and, you know, the difference between when they care and when they don't care, and how what I need to do in order to build the best team I can build. I think the other thing that I've really learned is that, not to be ugly, you know, it's really hard to find people that you can kind of delegate tasks to and make sure it's done right. That's mm-hmm. probably the biggest thing that I've learned. I was almost put into a position throughout the production where I had to pretty much do everything. You know, hire the set designer, get a better costume designer, go and find someone to get us publicity for the show, set up the rehearsals, go find all the rentals, you know, send out that trying to find people that can clearly and easily and effectively execute the tasks that they give you, because when it doesn't go wrong, then I have to do it. It's like I'm backtracking. So I think, say in the short way, making sure and always making sure that you have a great team that's for the project and working towards making the project the best it can be. Mm-hmm. Because when it's not quite there, a lot of backtracking starts to happen.
Now, I know you've been dancing your entire life. Let's face it. As you sit here now, what is the greatest gift that dance gives to you?
Dance gives me the ability to be everything I always wanted to be and everything that I might not ever be. And I say that only because, you know, I always, and I said this actually, there's a recent article that went up in Glamour.com about what the show, in a more specific way, what the show was based on. And I kind of mentioned it. I was like, you know, I always had an issue as a dancer because, you know, I always thought I was ugly. You know, I looked like Michael Strahan. And so I think a lot of times I dance with that bit of anger in me that dance makes me look prettier than I ever will be or more handsome than I ever will be. Because when you're a great dancer, you know, they say you can be the ugliest person in the room. But when you're a great artist, you become the most, you know, beautiful dove, you know, that ever existed. So I think dance allowed me to be everything I wanted to be and everything I may never be. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. That's so eloquently said. So eloquently said. So if you were to pick a favorite dance genre, what would it be?
Contemporary ballet. Because contemporary ballet, you get all the ferocious, fierce technique, and then you get to add whatever the hell you want inside of it, before all.
Well, Yusuf, I can't thank you enough for taking a few minutes to talk to me today.